Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
If you didn't get one of these sheets as you walked in, I'd encourage you to grab one of those. I think we might have some just in the centre aisle again. And we'll get to that a bit later, but it's just a bit of a resource that might assist for what we're going to do tonight. So I wanted to start just by reading the word. So if we could have that first slide up, please, Cayman, that would be great. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. And the next slide. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, which we'll be reading from as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the title of my message tonight is, therefore, do not lose heart. So many of you might know that I'm an avid golfer. I really love it. And I'll play rain, hail or shine. And you can ask my wife, like, I will play in the hail if I get the opportunity. And this is a photo coming up that I sent my mother-in-law a week before our wedding. If we can have it up there. I managed to pack my golf clubs and kind of sneak them in, and I sent my mother-in-law this photo just before we went down to Tassie for our honeymoon. But I don't think she saw the humour quite like I did. One of the biggest challenges with golf is your mindset, what goes on in your head. If you can picture like this beautiful manicured fairway, Mitch, you can picture that really well. And you've got this green, that's where the hole would be, that's where you're trying to hit the ball, up ahead of you. But on the left, you've got this big lake, and on the right, you've got these really dense trees. And you're kind of standing up there ready to hit your shot. If you start thinking about the lake or the trees, I guarantee you that's where your ball is going to end up. And you can feel a bit like this person coming up, where your mind is just flooded by thoughts, if we have that picture. You can feel like this person where your mind is just flooded by thoughts and all these equations, like, what do I need to do, when really you're just hitting this little ball that's not moving. Sometimes you need that reminder just to relax and just to hit the ball. Like, just relax, just hit it. And our journey in life can sometimes be the same. Here's the segue. There can be a million and one thoughts in our head about who we are, where we fit, what our purpose is, and what difference we make in the world. And over the last month, we've been so blessed to just hear some amazing content and teaching and stories. We've had the Broken Not Forgotten series, where we've just had some amazing interviews with people as they've shared about hardships and struggles and difficulties and how they've just navigated through that time. We've also had the Deep Dive series over the last couple of months, where there's just been such strong and clear teaching around the spirit realm about the enemy and how he tries to steal, kill and destroy, but also about the power, authority and victory we have through Jesus Christ. And then Graham's been sharing this year about Pilgrim's Progress, which I've just really loved, and the just similarities and application that we can make in our own faith walk as we journey through that book. But it's a lot to take in. I don't know if you felt that, but it can be a lot to take in. And my desire for all of us tonight is that we take a moment to remember what God has started in our lives. To have an opportunity just to be soaked in truth. To take a moment where the Holy Spirit can help clear the fog that we might have to light the path that God might have been trying to show us. Yeah, I want you to walk into this area or to start seeing this victory. And so how are we going to do this tonight? Well, in the three series we've been through, a common thread that I've seen is the battle around hope. There can be just a real struggle in those moments with losing hope. But then we also see in those darkest moments, there's an opportunity to go, as the Bible would say, from glory to glory, as Christ's power is made perfect in weakness. In those really hard moments where hope seems lost, there's an opportunity to see an amazing victory through Jesus Christ. And so that can all sound well and good, but again, it can be really difficult to process. And a bit later, we're going to come into a time of worship and a reflective moment to just consider what God has been doing in our lives. But to frame our posture for that moment, I was led to just a couple of points in 2 Corinthians that Paul makes. The first one being, we do not lose heart, and we read that just before. The second one, we are a new creation. And these are two areas that can be difficult to reconcile when we can hear these powerful testimonies or amazing scripture and clear teaching about how we can overcome through Christ these big, complicated, difficult trials. It can sound great, but it can be hard to reconcile. So let's start off with the first one. We do not lose hope. If we can have the next slide up. Thanks, Cayman. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose hope. So let's break this one down a little bit. What is the ministry? Next one, please. What is the ministry? It's the new covenant. God's covenant justice comes into operation through the faithfulness of Jesus the Messiah for the benefit of all who have faith, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and fell short of God's glory. And by God's grace, they are freely declared to be in the right, to be members of the covenant through redemption, which is found in the Messiah, Jesus. And Paul goes on to say, because of this ministry, we do not lose heart. And when I read that line, we do not lose heart, I just pictured Philippians 3, verse 14, where it says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And verse 20 goes on to say, our citizenship is in heaven. What this verse is telling us is that because of God's mercy and grace through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have a powerful ministry in which we do not lose heart. We can keep going on in our pursuit of Jesus. So the next point, we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And Graham has shared, again, with Pilgrim's Progress, if you haven't read the book or haven't been here, he's shared about this pilgrim named Christian who's journeying from a place of destruction to a future hope in heaven called Celestial City. It's this journey that Christian goes on. And this picture came to mind when I thought about being a new creation, if we could have that one, please. And Graham shared it this morning as well. So Christian has this cross moment and he's wearing these dirty old rags and he's got this big burden on his back and he has this cross moment when he comes to the cross and his burden falls away. His burden falls away and his rags become these new glorious garments, as you can see in that second picture there. But as you read on, Christian still continues to have to walk and overcome his walk. He doesn't get to Celestial City straight away. So we're going to look at how we actually get to this new creation and what does it mean. And there's so much study we could do in this area, but I just wanted to take tonight to look at one character in the Bible, one person in the Bible that we can read about and just see how this new creation might come about. So we're going to look at Peter. And if you've got your Bibles and want to turn with me to Luke 22, we're going to have a look at Peter and we're going to see the rise and the fall of Peter and then also the redemption. So if we have the next slide up, please, while you're turning to Luke 22. So we're going to have a look at Peter's journey and we're not going to go into the verses, but we're just going to touch on a few important parts of his journey, and that's on the back of your resource sheet, which you can have a read of later in your own time if you want. So Luke 22, and we're reading from verse 54, so have that ready. So before we get to this passage in Luke 22, we see a few of these moments of Peter's life. In Luke 5, verse 1 to 11, we read about how Jesus is preaching to the crowds, and there's so many people that Jesus goes onto these fishermen's boats just to get some separation. And after Jesus finishes teaching, he says to the fishermen, like, cast your net. And we see this amazing miracle where these fishermen just catch this enormous amount of fish. And Peter is one of those disciples. Or not a disciple yet, but he's one of the fishermen. We read Peter's reaction when this miracle occurred. It says, in awe, wonder, and humility, Peter fell at the feet of Jesus. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus' response was to say, do not fear, from now on you'll be catching men. And Peter and the fishermen left everything and followed Jesus. What an amazing testimony, right? You can imagine, like, if we had a moment like that, when if we left everything we had to follow Jesus. It's an amazing testimony. And from there, Peter witnesses some incredible things. So we read in Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 40 to 55, that he's one of three disciples to witness an official's daughter be raised from the dead. And then again, he's one of three disciples to be called up to the mountain with Jesus when Jesus undergoes the transfiguration. Like, that's pretty significant to be one of three to witness some of these things. A pretty amazing story. Quite amazing what Peter is being included in. But then we also see a few cracks appear. In Luke 22:24, we read about this argument that the disciples have, Peter being one of them, where they're arguing about who is the greatest among them. They're arguing about who is the greatest among them when Jesus is right there, who has done these amazing miracles as their teacher, saviour. Like, it's just, how could you have a conversation like that? We see a bit of a rollercoaster ride where a few verses later, Peter makes this oath to Jesus and declares that, I'll follow you to prison, I'll follow you to death if that's what it takes. Follow the rollercoaster. And moments later, in verse 45, when Jesus goes to the garden to pray and Jesus is in agony and he's about to go through this big trial, and he's asking his disciples, pray for me, be on guard, be alert. His disciples fall asleep, Peter being one of them. In John 18, verse 10, we read about how Peter takes a sword and he cuts the high priest's ear. Like, Peter drawing a sword, Jesus, who he's following, is teaching them exactly the opposite. Peter completely misses the mark of what Jesus has been teaching and exampling through his ministry. So you get a bit of a picture, right, of Peter's, like, rise and then, okay, a few cracks, and there's a few issues going on. What's this leading to? And if we get to, Luke 22, verse 54, we're going to read about this climactic moment, this, if you think about a movie, like this just crescendo into this really life-defining moment. So from verse 54, having arrested him, so this is talking about when Jesus got arrested, having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. So props to Peter, like, he's the disciple following Jesus, is trying to keep up his end of the oath that he made. But it goes downhill from there. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Let's just stop for a moment and let's put ourselves in Peter's shoes as we read this story. Can you imagine denying, like, your closest friend, your close brother or sister, or your husband or wife? It's pretty significant, serious stuff. We read on in verse 58. A little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Again, let's stop. In Matthew, we get a little bit more detail about this exchange. And Peter, it says Peter made an oath that he didn't know Jesus. We just read earlier how Peter was making an oath about how he's going to follow Jesus to the very end. Can you see how significant these conversations are? As we read on for this third interaction, this is the cowardly, tragic, and despondent decision that Peter makes the third time. So as we read on, after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man was with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Again, if you look this conversation up in the story in Matthew, there's a little bit more detail again about how Peter actually responded. It says that Peter began to curse and swear. And you can just picture Peter here, like he's doing everything he can to try and distance himself from Jesus. So much so that he starts cursing and swearing and just completely throwing his teacher, his saviour, under the bus. Again, I'll ask the question, can you feel the weight and the significance of this moment? So we get to Luke 22, verse 61 and 62, and this is like the real, like, big part of the big point of the story. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times." And in verse 62, it says, Peter went out and wept bitterly. The first few words of verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. This is something that I don't think I recognized before, that Jesus was like in the vicinity of Peter, like he was close. It wasn't like this is something going on and Jesus off somewhere else. Like Jesus is right there while Peter is denying, and Jesus would be seeing what's happening, what's unfolding. In verse 62, Peter remembered the word of the Lord and went out and wept bitterly. This is not a very positive message, right, so far? It's a bit heavy. As we read through this, it brings up a really important question that I think we struggle with a lot, and that we can struggle with some of the content we've been hearing this year. And it brings up the question about Peter. How could he ever be a new creation after such a significant and horrible rejection of Jesus? Like, where's the turning point in this story? Like, it is the lowest of lows. He's done the worst thing you could do. Where is the hope in this story? As we think about that verse we read earlier, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. As we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. And this is the beautiful part of the story. As we read on from this moment, we read the rest of the story of Peter, we see that Jesus not only forgives Peter, but he completely restores him. In John 21, it talks about how Jesus appears again after his resurrection at the Sea of Galilee, and he performs the same miracle of these fishermen. Peter was there, this miracle of catching fish. And I just love the Bible when you see these patterns come up and you're like, wait, that happened right at the start. This is happening again. What's this about to tell us about Peter's story? We read on that after this miracle, they're sitting on the beach having dinner together, and Jesus restores Peter when he says to Peter, "Tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep." Tend my sheep. He's saying, "Peter, you're reinstated. Be the leader of my church. Tend to my lambs, tend to my sheep." How beautiful and powerful is that conversation, that redemption, that reconciliation, that forgiveness in the light of this heavy, significant, weighty story that we just read. And I love this quote from a preacher called Timothy Keller. "We are justified through grace. Jesus would say to us, plunge your failures into my grace. Plunge your failures into my grace. And I will give you a wisdom, joy, insight, humility, courage, confidence that no one else could ever give you." We see that through this whole interaction between Peter and Jesus, that Peter accepted the status, the citizenship of heaven, the adoption into God's family, and he went on to be one of the greatest leaders of the church. He went from glory to glory. This is a man that you would think, as you read the story, there's no turning point in this story. So why do I bring this story up? Why do I encourage you to kind of put yourself in the shoes of Peter? Again, as we think about everything we've heard throughout the year, as we think about the amazing testimonies we heard in the Broken Not Forgotten series and seeing examples of people living this out in their lives, as we think about the Deep Dive series and just the incredible truths that we have and promises that we can cling on to overcome, you know, these attacks from the enemy. As we think about Pilgrim's Progress and the story of Christian and the similarities in our life and the application we can make. As we think about these things, we can think about when the Bible says that we are a new creation and we have that opportunity. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." I'm the creator. I made the heavens. I made the earth. I am all powerful. There is nothing above me. And you pondering your heart, how can it be that such a great and mighty person can think of me? I'm just one person among many, many millions. And God would say, "And yet I do know you. I do love you. I do want to be with you closely all the way. I know your name. I know what bothers you. I know your thoughts. All I know and all this, I love you. I love you so much. I want you to be mine. I want you to be with me. I want you to walk the rest of your lives with me." Through what we've heard tonight, I think the challenge for us is, will you accept what God says about you? Will you live as the new creation that God calls you to be? That God has called you to be through Christ, through his death and resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or will you continue to live as the old self? And Graham so clearly put it this morning as he wrapped up Pilgrim's Progress, that our security in God is so important. Our security in the knowledge that our sins are gone forever is important. That all things have passed. All things are new. And Graham shared this picture of Jesus on the cross. If we have that image up on the screens again quickly of Christian. This image of Christian approaching the cross and his burden falling away, and his rags being turned to these glorious garments. All things are past, all things are new.